On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
I have got a fantastic show for you.
Whatever.
Good morning, good afternoon, hello. Good morning, good afternoon, good night, it's the Ron Van Dam Show. Hello. Oh, baby. All right. Settle down. Compose yourself. My God, you're making a fool out of yourself. Calm down. It's only me. Sit down, please. You don't need to stand up and applaud me while you're driving. Don't. Unless you have a sunroof. Or a moonroof, which I guess that you stick your ass through the ceiling of the car. I don't know what a moonroof is. I've never mooned anybody in my life. And mooning, by the way, for those of you that may not be in the moon kind of feeling, I think you drop your pants and you stick your ass out the window, and that's mooning. I have no idea why it's called that. The moon is something that's in the sky, which does not look like an ass, by the way. It looks like just a circle of light. Kumbaya. I mean, it doesn't look like an ass. So I don't know why mooning would be dropping your pants and sticking in front of somebody's face. I don't know where that came from. But who am I? Who am I, really, in the long run? Of course, I could Google it, but that takes all the fun out of life. Isn't Google a little bit too convenient? Everything I want to know is available on my thing. I don't like that. It gives me no impotence. I'm impotent, by the way. Gives me no impotence to go out and search by myself. Look, I'm having a good time, whatever. I'm just a little bit happy today. I'm a little bit giddy because temperatures today in the New England area are going to get close to 60. And temperatures tomorrow are going to get close to 70. And I'm saying to myself, man, it really could be spring. This fictional season that I've heard about may actually exist somewhere on another planet in another dimension. Could it be coming to our planet this year? This is supposed to be like the most fantastic time of year in general, because the weather starts getting nice. You're coming out of a horrific winter in New England. This should be like gates, heaven's gates opening up, you know, like St. Bartholomew or St. Peter or St. Patrick. I don't know who the hell's at the gate anymore. Probably on their lunch break. But these gates are supposed to open, man, and it's supposed to be beautiful. And the snow is melting gradually. I mean, nothing's really flooding. You may have basement flooding. I don't know. I'm not you. But in general, it's not as bad so far. So, like, wow, it's fantastic. It should make you really, really happy. Here we go.
I think I'll go for a walk outside now. The summer sun's calling my name.
Boy.
I hear you now. I just can't stay inside all day. I gotta get out, get me some of those rays. Everybody's smiling, sunshine day.
You know what I can't understand? Why on television, this is the Partridge Family, they sang this on TV. Why it was really them singing? Why didn't they just like get somebody to do it for them? This is embarrassing. Oh my God. My pet frog could sing better than this.
Take a walk every day. Now the summer sun, show me the way to be happy. Now I just can't stay inside all day. I gotta get out, give me some of those rays. Everybody smile.
These kids should have been locked in the basement in a cage. I'm serious, I am.
Sunshine day.
And I don't know if that's even abuse at that point. I think it's like being a hero.
It's a sunshine day. Can't you hear him calling your name? I think I'll go for a walk outside now. The summer sun's calling my name. I hear you now, I just can't stay inside all day. I gotta get out, give me some.
Kinda sounds like it belongs on Sesame Street, doesn't it?
Everybody's smiling, sunshine day. Everybody's laughing, sunshine day. Everybody seems so happy today.
Sunshine, yeah. All right, that's better. That's a little bit better, huh? That's my friend Jason Shaw with that music there. Hey, welcome to the program. My name is Ron Van Dam. I can't escape it. And this is what I do Monday through Fridays. Infinitum until I die, and or perhaps I'll quit just before that. It's the Ron Van Dam Show, the continuation on internet radio of my 20 years in broadcast radio. What the hell was I thinking then? Ron, wouldn't it be great if you had a job where you could just sit in your underpants and do a radio show? And at the time I said, that sounds ideal. And then I realized it's not that ideal. It's lazy. It's psychologically damaging. It's somewhat remotely pathetic. Egotistically ugly. I don't know if Pandora is a jewelry company or an internet music station. I don't know. I'm confused. I don't know the difference between a sweet potato and a yam. I have no fucking idea. They look the same to me, but there's different signs. Went to my supermarket around Thanksgiving because I have that kind of memory. And they were selling sweet potatoes and yams right next to each other. And they looked exactly the same. But the price was different. Yeah, I know. And I called over the young man working in the supermarket. They don't know anything. That's why they're working in a supermarket. And I said, excuse me, produce man. And he said, well, the word is produce. I said, oh, God. I said, what's the difference between a sweet potato and yam? And he says, there's basically no difference whatsoever. And so why do you have a sign that says yam and a sign that says sweet potato? And he says, well, the guy who made the signs, when the more sweet potatoes came, he liked yam better. It was easier to spell. He didn't know if there was an E at the end of potato or not, so I just screwed him up and call him yams. Why is the price different? I don't know. Very, very confusing. That's how confusing life is for me. But that's not all I care about. I just don't care about the difference between sweet potatoes and yams. There are other things that I care about. But I can't think of what they are. There's one thing that I'm very concerned about that I ask this question to myself every single day.
What are you wearing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing today? Today, what are you wearing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing today? Today,
it is so. And here's a problem. When you're a guy my age and you play that song and you talk about children, you're a fucking pervert. But if you're talking about men's and women's clothing, you're a fashion designer. It just really is another confusing thing in my life. Not my life. I mean, I'm just saying. It's the question. Today, it's time to put the winter stuff away, I swear. Now, I know at night it gets down to like 20, 22 degrees, and that's cold, but what the hell are you doing out that late at night that it gets that cold? What are you doing roaming the streets at 2 o'clock in the morning? You're up to no good, and you know it. So put it away. It's time to break out the light sweater and the light jacket, and I'm just really thrilled about it. I'm just sick of wearing my winter coat. It's bulky. It's now smell the armpits of your winter coat, kids, because people don't get their winter coats dry cleaned or they don't put them in the wash. You just kind of don't do that. You just wear the thing all the time, and you wear it inside buildings. You wear it outside of buildings. You wear it on your head. You use it as a panty. I mean, you do everything with these winter coats. They're always being utilized, and you never, ever wash them. I know you don't, and you sweat in them because it's too hot. It's freezing outside, and then you go into a building where they have heat, which you're supposed to have in the winter, and you start sweating. But do you take your winter coat off? No, because there's no place to put your winter coat. I'm not putting it anywhere. I'm not going to throw it on a chair. Someone could take my coat. I'm not going to coat check my coat and pay someone $2 as a tip just to get my coat back. What, are you serious? I voluntarily, like, gave you my coat so I could pay for it again? That makes no sense whatsoever. I'll just wear my coat or I'll carry it around. You know what? It's easier to wear it than it is to carry it. It gives me more hands, so, which I only have two, but I mean, I can utilize both of them at the same time, and you know what I'm saying. So I'll wear the coat, and then my armpits start stinking, and you know what I'm saying, because it's hot under there. Armpits got to have some place to go. That sweat's got to go somewhere, baby, so it's going to go right to your armpits. That's where sweat goes, by the way. Sweat goes either to your forehead or to your armpits. No other part of your body sweats like that. It really doesn't. Some people's crotch sweat, and that's a problem. You should be taking pills for something like that. But you never, and people say, oh, I have sweaty palms. You don't have sweaty palms. You're just like weird is what you are. Your palms don't sweat. Stop giving me that kind of crap. No one sweats from their earlobes. Have you noticed that? Oh, Bob, you got sweat coming out of your ears. Again, I've got sweat. Again, I've got sweat. I just wiped my ears clean a couple of minutes ago. That's weird. You don't sweat from your nose. You drip from your nose, like I am right now a little bit, you know. You have allergies, you have all that like mucus stuff going on, and you have that nasal drip. That's not sweat, though. So you don't sweat from your nose. It'd be perfect because there's two little outlet holes, you know. I mean, what better place to sweat than out of your face vents? And your face vents are either your ears or your nose, like specifically in the middle of your face. That's where you should be venting your sweat, not coming through your armpits. What's that about? Well, Ron, because you have hair under your armpits. Oh, I see. So wherever there's hair, I will sweat. Is that it? Is that the name of your new book? Wherever there is hair, I shall sweat? I think it is. I beg to differ. I beg you to differ me. Anyway, it's almost time to put the winter jackets away. I want everybody after this show today, not during the show because I'm busy here, but after the show, I want you to put your winter coats away symbolically. I want you to sit around your coat and take the hood of your coat and like put it in the middle of the coat and sit on the floor in an Indian squatting position, like you're going to take a shit on the hardwood, and do your kumbaya chant, and let's light them on fire or something, and just end the winter symbolically by the retiring of the winter coat. I think that would be fantastic all across this United States. Retire your winter coat, and that's what I'm wearing.
What are you wearing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing today? Today, what are you wearing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing today? Today.
All right, that's enough. That's enough. I also don't want to hear this song again for like 52 years. No more of this.
Oh, Oh, the weather outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful.
No more of that, please. No more of this. No more. No more of this.
Here comes the snow. It's falling down.
No more.
It's falling gently up on the ground. Here comes the snow.
No more. No more of this.
It's falling down. It leaves a blanket up on the ground. Ground, ground. Snow, 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 snow.
I'm done. I'm finished. It's over. It's finished. That's it. No more. No more. No more. No more. No more. I'll be right back after these words.
Hey, this is Bobby Marone, former heavyweight contender. But these days, you'll find me knocking out customers with the food at my restaurant, Betty's Cupcakes.
And that would be headshots.
Headshots. Take it from me, every meal we serve at Weedy World...
Headshots?
...at Headshots is a world champion. Whether you're a lightweight, middleweight, or a heavyweight like me... Bring your appetite to Charlie's Bait and Smokes.
Bobby, let's try headshots.
Two headshots. Try our new spicy chicken piazzole or some classic meatballs. And do you know where you'll find the juiciest, tenderest steaks in town? That's right, the Pet Depot.
Headshots again.
Headshots. We serve up a 28-ounce porterhouse that'll hit you so hard you won't remember eating it. So treat yourself to a night out soon at Wo Hop Fung's Authentic Chinese Laundry.
Wow, so wrong on so many levels. Headshots.
That's right, headshots. Every Thursday night, get 10% off when you mention my name, Bobby Marone. I'll see you soon at Mistress Elena's Domination Dungeon.
That explains so much, but headshots.
Headshots. You know... Maybe we ought to start writing these things down.
That would be what the paper in your hand is for, Bobby.
Oh, yeah.
You're listening to The Big Show by Ron Van Dam. I wish I could listen to it, too. But sometimes he says bad words.
That's not true. That's an exaggeration. Not true. No, it's wrong. It's wrong. Hey, have you done your taxes yet, kids? Huh? And I call you a kid because you are so young and lovely. Every move you make is like a flowing ballerina. Your smell is toasty and magnificent. Your lips are like two giant ships that pass in the night. You are delectable, and your steam comes out of your head because you are so steamy and are so hot. You are the epitome of beauty and grace. When you move, everything around you stands still and gazes at your very motion. When you speak, people stop talking. They look in your direction. Their ears perk up, as well as other body parts, in order to hear those sounds coming out of your mouth of wisdom and glory and magnificence. And when you enter a room, everything stops. The world stops rotating. The universe stops expanding. And life itself stops and gazes at a vision of loveliness, fortitude, magnificence, poignancy, and degradation of a lifestyle of love and hornification upon your large, sweaty bosoms and your crotchifying look of lust. You take that book, 52 Shades of Grey, and you make it short by 300 grays. because you are that special, that unique. There is no one like you, or that comes even close to you, or would even approach you, because you are magnificent. You also accept a huge amount of bullshit when people say this stuff to you. Because you, my friend, are magnificently gullible. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. So have you done your taxes yet? I'm sorry. Did I say that already? I don't even know where the hell I am. Am I in the United States, or am I some kind of war-torn area somewhere in the middle? I don't know. This is the time when people do their taxes. This is when you drive down the street near strip malls. Nearly said the wrong word. Near strip malls, and you see someone dressed up like the Statue of Liberty prompting you to come inside and get your taxes done. And nothing makes you want to do your taxes more than some guy dressed up in a Statue of Liberty costume. To me, that's, of course, the liberty of having to pay your taxes without question. Otherwise, you'll be arrested and prosecuted and caned publicly. Yes, it's that time that H&R Block opens up 2 million offices right next to each other. It's that time of year. It means spring is coming, and it means you need to do your taxes. For, I'd say about, I'm going to take a guess, man, because I haven't done a survey, because I am so freaking lazy. I would never do a survey. I wouldn't ask more than one person any question on any topic, so I'm really bad at doing surveys. I make the rest up. I would guess that about 70% of those that do their taxes, maybe even 80%, it's a happy time of year because you get money back. It's like free money. Oh boy, April, free money, here it comes. For the other 30%, let's figure, I don't know if it's a true and accurate number. I have no idea. What do I care? I'm not regulated. As long as I tell you I don't know what I'm talking about, I think that I'm safe. I think 30% of the people actually pay money. I'm one of them because I'm self-employed. I employ myself. That means that instead of taking taxes out of myself, which I will never do because I could never ask myself to pay myself, to take taxes out of myself. So at the end of the year, which is now, I end up paying like a small fortune. As a matter of fact, if I found sunken treasure on the bottom of the ocean in a rusted old ship, a pirate ship, it would not come close to paying the taxes that I need to pay on an annual basis. Because that's what happens when you're self-employed. Oh, I'm my own boss. I can work whenever I want. And I can get screwed royally in a financial matter. That's what I do. Anyway, it's time to do your taxes, and you better. And by the way, if you don't do your taxes, they actually send people out from the IRS to assassinate you. Yeah, they do. Yeah, you think they don't, but take a head count next time from 1 year to the next. There's going to be less people. Seriously. Yeah. Have you ever noticed that old people die and then babies come into the world? Do you know why old people die? Because the IRS shoots them. Because they're not paying the taxes. Babies they can't do a damn thing about. So, like, they're running rampant all over the place. In some areas, if you walk down the street, like, you'll trip over these little babies that are crawling all over the place. They're just all over. And basically, in, like, really low-class, cheap restaurants, you'll find babies. They're not hard to find. They're the ones that are making a racket so you can't enjoy your meal. Those are the babies. Anyway, do I love children? You form your own opinion. We're going to speak to actually H&R Block, one of these spokespeople from the H&R Block people. By the way, someday I'm going to ask them. I didn't do it this time. I'm going to ask them what H&R stands for. And it's probably something like, I don't know, something horrible. It's probably like horrific and revenue or something like awful, just awful. Talk about a seasonal business. Although H&R Block kind of works year-round, they're accountants and stuff, but this is their big time of year. My God, this is their Christmas. Don't you know that? Don't you know that? Don't you know anything, by the way? Do you know anything? Okay, H&R Block. It's coming up next. Where the hell are they? H&R. I should look under H probably, huh? I don't know where the hell it is. It's here somewhere. All right, Kathy Pickering joins us now. Kathy Pickering joins me now. She's the executive director of the Tax Institute at H&R Block. We've all heard of them, and Kathy's appeared everywhere over the media as a go-to source. How you doing this morning?
I'm great, thanks. How are you doing?
I'm doing really, 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 really well. You know, it's funny, when you talk about tax season on April 15th, the usual response is, ugh, this is the worst thing, death and taxes. For other people, it's like an opportunity to get some money back. I mean, is it kind of a mixed review here?
Absolutely. For many people, tax season is refund season. And on average, those refunds are about $2,700. So it could be good news for a lot of people.
I'll have to marry one of those people, I guess. All right. This year is kind of a new twist on things besides the usual, and we'll get into that as well. But I guess there's a penalty for not having health care insurance. Is this the first year or second year of that as far as a federal requirement is concerned?
So the Affordable Care Act is the single largest change to the tax code in over 20 years.
Ew.
And for the first time, it's impacting taxpayers on their tax return. So there's new forms, there's new calculations, and it could mean that your refund is impacted as well. So there's three primary ways that people are impacted by this. The first is for those who have insurance through their employer or Medicare or Medicaid, all they need to do is check the box on the tax return and they're good to go. The second is for those who got their insurance through the federal or state marketplace, they're going to need to provide information on the tax return about their insurance and reconcile the premium tax credit. And then for the third impact, it's those people who didn't have insurance and they may be facing a possible penalty. A lot of people have heard that for the first year, that penalty is $95 per adult, but in reality, it's 1% of household income or $95 per adult, whichever is higher.
Oh.
So what that just means is that for a family of four earning $60,000 a year, the penalty could be close to $400. That's quite a big difference.
It is, totally.
The good news there, though, is that for those taxpayers who may be facing a penalty, there are a number of exemptions that they may be eligible for to help either eliminate or substantially reduce that penalty.
Okay. I don't want to do a commercial for H&R Block. However, I don't mess with taxes. If you make a mistake on your taxes, you may not hear about it until 4 years later because that's the way the government works, and then you're paying interest on 4 years, and you say, hey, wait a minute, you just sent me the letter now. Well, that's too bad. Who are you going to complain to? I need to know everything I can know when doing my taxes about maybe I'm a student or maybe there's a deduction for this or that. It's something that I wouldn't know otherwise. So I always suggest that people go to experts for things that matter to this extent.
That's a really important piece of advice, especially when you're going through life changes.
Yeah.
Say, for example, you get married, you get divorced, you buy a house. Those really big life events are a good opportunity to seek some professional assistance so that you don't miss out on something on your tax return or find yourself owing money that you didn't expect.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, there's some really commonly overlooked tax breaks. For example, the earned income tax credit is for lower-income working families. And the IRS estimates that about 1 in 5 taxpayers who's eligible doesn't claim it. So you hate to leave money on the table.
There you go.
And another really popular one is the American Opportunity Tax Credit. And that's for students in their first 4 years of higher education.
Oh.
That can mean up to $2,500 per student per year. And especially if you've got multiple kids in college, that can really mean a big difference.
Yeah. There's a lot. I mean, just every nook and cranny. I mean, there's just hundreds of things, and sometimes they show up on a regular form, sometimes they don't. And I don't take my chances. Now, what if someone can't get it together by April 15th? What happens then?
Well, there's a couple important things that you need to know. You can file an extension. Say you're still waiting on forms or you've got some complexities. You can file an extension, and you'll have until October 15th to file your taxes. But what you need to know is that an extension to file is not an extension to pay. So if you think that you owe money, you're going to want to estimate that and make that payment, even if you're doing an extension to file. And the reason that's so important is that the penalties associated with a failure to pay are so much higher than failure to file. It's just not worth it.
Is that something that the common person can do themselves to file for an extension, or does that get complicated too? How would I know how much to pay or not to pay? I have no idea. I may be getting money back. I don't know.
That's exactly right. So filing the actual extension form is a pretty straightforward process, but that intricacy of understanding, you know, estimating what you might pay, if you're not confident on that, you may want to seek some professional assistance.
Can I just, like, throw them $100? Does it work that way? Or does that look like, is that bribery or a tip? I don't know what that is.
Again, I don't think the IRS would look too kindly on bribery, so I wouldn't recommend that. What I would suggest, though, is if you're the kind of person who likes to do it yourself and file online, H&R Block also provides tax assistance for people who are doing it themselves, so you can go online and chat and get some answers to your questions that way.
Let me tell you a little story. I don't know if you do this anymore, but I'm going to tell a story anyway. About 4 years ago, I had my taxes done by somebody else, and then H&R Block was offering the second look thing, which was either short money or no money at all. And I took it over there, and they found like a ton of things. I cleaned up my words here. They found a lot of stuff that my accountant had missed. Is that still?
I love that story. This is awesome.
Okay. Well, I don't know if you still do that second look stuff.
Absolutely. And that's a really important thing, is even if you did your own taxes or you went to somebody else, it's always worth it to get a second look and make sure that you didn't miss something.
Yeah. And that's also for dating as well, but you don't deal with that. But I'm just...
I can't help you with your dating advice.
All right. Well, I don't know why. Because that could greatly impact my taxes, too. Okay. How do we get more information about all of this?
So you can go to hrblock.com for more of just the information and also to find an office near you.
Great. And man, they are all over the place. That's for sure. I think around tax season, there's as many H&R Blocks as there are Dunkin' Donuts around here. So it's a lot. Or Starbucks.
That's exactly right. Get a cup of coffee and get your taxes done.
Oh, you are good at what you do. Okay. All right. Hey, a pleasure speaking to you today, Kathy.
Thank you so much. Have a good day.
Take care. Bye-bye. Kathy Pickering, tax expert. Winner of the 1993 Miss Tax Expert contest, where she blew away the competition in bathing suit competition. Oh, she's beautiful. You know, I was looking out my window today and I saw something that I don't think I had ever seen before, but then I remembered, It was part of my life and I just had forgotten it. And it was green, and I said, what is a strange foreign object which upon I gaze? It was grass. Grass. I had read about grass and seen pictures of grass and books and children's literature, but I never thought green grass actually existed. But lo and behold, under this white blanket of crap, all of a sudden, I see this burst of green. It was grass. And every day there seems to be a little bit more of it. Why, this green grass seems to be taking over the snow. As the snow falls away, and I shall miss it, it's replaced by this colorful green substance they call grass. Yeah. I suppose I'll have to get used to that.
The Other Worlds Concert Series presents ambient music legend Robert Rich in his first ever Boston area performance, Tuesday night, April 14th at Sanctuary Church in Marshfield. Immerse yourself in deep ambient drifts and world music influences in a truly unique concert experience. Tickets are just $15. Reserve yours by calling 781-956-0248. Ambient music legend Robert Rich, Tuesday, April 14th, Sanctuary Church, Marshfield.
Hey, are you into jazz, baby? Hey, baby, are you into jazz? The Eric Van Damme Jazz Ensemble, is performing this evening at the Fuller Craft Museum, which is on Oak Street in the lovely city of Brockton. It's a beautiful museum. It's a good opportunity to see the museum and then listen to a laid-back jazz concert. His jazz is very, he writes his own stuff. 90% of what he plays is his own compositions with his jazz ensemble. And if you're really into jazz, you'll find it to be quite interesting what jazz can actually be. That performance is tonight from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. at the Fuller Craft Museum in the city of Brockton on Oak Street. Doors open at 6 o'clock. You can have a little food there and then enjoy the concert. Roam around the museum a little bit before he starts playing at 7 and enjoy it. They do this at the Fuller Craft Museum every first Thursday of the month. And this particular first Thursday, which would be April 2nd, he is performing. Is he any relation to me? I don't know. Probably. So stop on down and hear some the pure actual form of improvisational jazz tonight. Okay, my friends, I am out of time, out of patience, and I'm pretty much out of money as well, to be honest with you. I'll be back again tomorrow with another program. Until then, let me just take a moment to tell you that I am greatly, greatly appreciative of your listenership and the time that we spend together. You are all very, very special in the world as we live it.
Whatever.
Oh, that's awful to say.
It was unbelievably painful.
All right. Have yourselves a wonderful day as I leave with that corny little bit. And I'll be with you again tomorrow. Hey, you know what? Just have a great day. I'll tell you something else, little kids of my life. It's up to you if you have a great day or not. If you walk around with a smile on your face, you'll be surprised how much of that comes back at you. You can make it a great day. You're not a victim as to whether you're going to have a good day or not. That's in your hands.